get a, as I'm reading sermons, there isn't a lot of sermons about this verse, but I thought it was a really a special verse, and I think it's something that we can learn from tonight. As we've been talking about being strong in holiness, and we've been talking about what true holiness is all about, it's becoming like Jesus Christ, and it's becoming more and more like Him each and every day. I know a lot of people equate holiness with outward standards, and I know we've been trying to hit that hard a little bit the last couple of weeks, because inside churches like ours, many times the mentality is if they look right on the outside and they're always do everything right on the outside, they must be holy people. It doesn't matter how they act, doesn't matter what they say, if they just look right. And that's not what true holiness is. And we learned about it's all manner of conversation. It's all areas that we want to try to grow and become like Jesus Christ. And I'm not picking on the outward appearance. I think if the inward is right, the outward will be right also. But there is so much more that our Christian lives are than what we do. It's about who we are. We're children of Jesus Christ. We are have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have a relationship with God our Father, and we should be growing in this relationship and letting God do a work in our hearts and our minds that surpass any type of standard that someone can force on another person. And like, you know me, I like standards, but when we're talking about true holiness, it's a person's heart. And this tonight's going to look at three different reasons for being strong in holiness. Three different reasons for being strong in holiness. And this has nothing to do with make for somebody else. You know, we're dressing this way so that way somebody else will like me, or we're acting this way so somebody else will be pleased with me. No, it talks about God, and if we pray to God, and if we call out to God, that He is not a respecter of persons. And He also is a person who will judge us someday. And He also has only given us a limited time here in this world. So it's only one verse we're going to look at for the most part. But we're going to start off here and just start in verse number 13. Because we've looked at this. This is the third week now about being strong in holiness. We look at some reasons here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about the importance that there are things that are slowing us down, and it starts in our mind. We need to make sure that we're girding up the things in our mind. Next thing is be sober. We need to have a clear mind. We need to be serious about things. Hope, and hope to the end is talking about hoping that the day that Jesus Christ comes, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we can only imagine the grace that's going to be bestowed upon us when we see Him. Verse 14, as obedient children. We are children. We are God's children, and we are supposed to be obedient. And how do we become obedient? Not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. What we used to do before we were saved, we don't have to do that anymore. We're no longer ignorant about what we should be doing. Instead, it says in verse 15, but as He which hath called you is holy, talking about the call of God and Jesus Christ in our life, so be ye holy, talking about what true holiness is in all manner of conversation. In verse 16, we look at the motive. The motive for holiness, it says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So the whole thought there is a motivation that we love Christ. We want to do everything for Him because we love Him, because of who He is to us. We want to be holy because He has called us to be holy. You say, well, Pastor, you said, what are the reasons? Well, there's three reasons tonight. This is not our motivation, but this is just reasoning for this, that it's a good thought to be holy and being strong in holiness. And let's look here in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So I like that little phrase at the beginning, and if you call, ye call on the Father. It's talking about people who are Christians. This book is written to Christians. It's a first century Christians. These are people who are in threat of losing their life just because they are a Christian, because they go to church, because they believe in Jesus Christ. Many of them are being put to death. They're being persecuted, all those different things. That's who this book is written to. And Peter is telling this group of people, look, if you call on the Father, and I know it's the intention that if it's a group of people he is talking about, and he begins to describe the Father, but I can't go past that line without thinking, if you call on the Father, and that's the biggest problem in most people's prayer lives. They don't call on the Father. That, you know, a lot of people talk about prayer and the hindrances of prayer and, you know, what we should pray for and how we should pray. And the problem in most people's life is they don't pray like they should. You know, what do you mean? I mean that they don't pray at all. I mean, sometimes maybe the 5 minutes we spend in here time on Wednesday nights might be some of the times the only time that person really spends time in prayer. And I'm not saying that they don't pray over their food, but I'm talking about just a few minutes alone with God. And this, have not because you ask not. And the truth of it is, if ye call on the Father. And this is, he's establishing a group of people here. He's talking about those who are believers. And that's, and you're going to see that in the verses here. But here's three reasons for being strong in holiness. Number one, because God is not a respecter of persons. It says, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, God has called us to be holy. He says, hey, look, be holy for I am holy. And I'm here to tell you that the reason why we need to be holy is because God is not a respecter of persons. What do you mean, Pastor? It means he's without partiality. He does not have pets. He does not play favorites. Just because you have an outward appearance and other people might think you're something special, that's not the way God plays. You ever been involved and been around someone where somebody seems like you know that they are the favorite of that individual and you know they're going to get special treatment and they're just going to be treated better than everybody else? Maybe there was a son or a daughter like Joseph was in the Jacob's family, or maybe in school they used to have somebody called the teacher's pet, and you know that that person always would be the one that the teacher would count on, the teacher would trust and things like that. Now, God doesn't do that. God does not even make a respecter of persons when it comes to nationalities. And you think about when the Jews and Gentiles were, when Peter was brought to the idea and the realization that the gospel was not just for the Jews, it was also for the Gentiles. And then the Bible says in testimony that Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And I like that. I don't know about you, that's the type of judge I want. I want someone who's going to be impartial. I don't want someone who's going to play favorites. I want someone who's going to do what's right, who is going to be just, and who is going to do what he has said. Now, before we get too far into this, I want you to remember that McBride song. I think the Rachel sing, he said, he loves me like I was his only child. You know, he is playing favorites in the idea that treats us all better than we deserve. He is someone, he gives us more than we ever deserved, and he gives us grace and he gives us mercy, but in the same token, he treats everyone like that. And I have a couple thoughts about, you know, the reason why we need to be holy is because God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to turn around and say, okay, because you do this, then I'm going to treat you better than everyone else. That's not it. First thing, God loves everyone. God loves everyone, for God so loved the world. He loves everyone the same. We've been talking about Jacob, and we're talking about Leah, and talking about Rachel in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. And Jacob, he hated Leah. He pushed Leah away. Was it because she was tender-eyed, or was it because of the fact that he was tricked? Whatever the reasoning that was there, he did not like Leah as much as he loved Rachel. And that caused problems inside the house. It caused problems amongst the children. It caused problems that carried over even to the grandkids. And, you know, God loved Leah just as much as she loved Rachel. It didn't matter that in the world's eyes, Rachel was maybe more attractive and Leah was tender-eyed. No, God still loved them. And what you need is not making up excuses about, well, God can't use me because of my color or because of my height or because of my weight or because of my gender or because of this or that when it comes to the outside. God loves all of us. And he is not a respecter of persons, so we need to be holy. He doesn't make exceptions. He doesn't say, hey, look, okay, because you do this and because you look like this, then you can kind of skate over here. You don't have to do these other things. No, God loves all of us, but God also blesses everyone the same way. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. He didn't have his favorites and say, okay, hey, this rule doesn't apply to you. This is intended for everybody else. No, he said, look, if you want to be blessed by God, you obey me. If you want to be cursed by God, you disobey me. This is simple. He's not a respecter of persons. And I love the stories of the Bible. You see that God takes certain individuals and blesses those people. And you would say, I would never bless that person. I would never use that person. Thankfully, God doesn't look at it that way. We can all be holy. We can all strive to live for God and all strive to become like Jesus Christ. And we can all do the things that is necessary to be blessed by God. You think about little David. Most people probably would have never used him. But you know what? God chose to use him. You think about the little boy who brought in the five loaves and two fishes. No, he was just a faithful servant. You think about the woman who had the wicked past, but she was the one that loved God so much. God was willing to use her. You think about the Apostle Paul or Saul. We would have written him off the list because he did this to my family, he did this and he did that. We would have said, I have no time for him. But what does God do? And we think about the different people that have hurt us and different people have done things to us. And we would say, no, we made that illustration in Sunday school this past Sunday morning. We talked about how Peter needed someone who was going to forgive him and how Peter was going to need someone who was using him. And he had just cursed Jesus, or he betrayed Jesus, and he was cursing. He was amongst the people. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. But 3 days later, where is he sitting when Mary Magdalene walks in the door? He's sitting there with John. You know what? God still chose to use Peter. We would have written Peter off. We would have excommunicated Peter from the church. We just said, what are you doing here, Peter? You don't deserve to be here. No, no. He was sitting there with John. John knew that he was sorrowful. He was repentant. He had went out. He had cried. He was sorrowful for what he did. And John was willing to help him. And God was still willing to use Peter, where the rest of us would have said, he's washed up. And the devil probably spent those 3 days saying, Peter, God's never going to use you ever again. Upon this rock, I'll build this church. He says, God's not going to be able, God's not a respecter of persons. We come through the same way. He blesses the people the same way. He punishes people the same way. One of the things that would drive young people crazy, and I think this is probably something that drove Joseph's brothers crazy, is that there's partiality there, and maybe Joseph got away with some things that the brothers didn't get away with. But you look in the story. Who was the man after God's own heart? It was David. What happened to David? David sinned. What happened? God punished David. See, God's not a respecter of person. You say, why does this have to do with holiness? It means we all play by the same rules. It doesn't matter if you've been in church all your life or you just recently been saved and recently been added to the church. We all have the same God, and we cannot use the fact that God likes someone else better because they were brought up a certain way or because they portray a certain image or because they portray certain things, that God's got to love them more and use them more. That's just not the case. He's not a respecter of persons. We all need to be holy because he's not going to let someone skate just because of the fact that everybody else thinks they're holy. We have to have our hearts right, and our hearts got to have an intent to want to become like him and to yearn, to want to learn about him and to love him, because we know that's the person he is going to use. We know that's the person he's going to bless. That's the person he's going to work through, is the person that is going to try to be holy. See, he's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. If you seek after God, he says you'll find him. And this is that we need to be holy because of the fact that he's not a respecter of persons. The next thing is the reason why we need to be strong in holiness is because God will be our judge. Because God will be our judge. And look what it says in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, and once again, there's that group of people. And the question is, are we calling on the Father? But Peter is telling this group of first century Christians, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone's going to grade something I do or judge something I do, then I'm going to usually work a little bit harder at it. You know, sometimes teachers will tell you, hey, look, you need to write a report. There's not going to be a grade on it. Just, you know, do your homework and just turn it in. Usually, if that's the case, it's not done as well. It's done halfway because they know that no one's going to look at it. No one's going to judge it. No one's going to grade it. Why do I have to put forth the amount of effort. Why do I have to do it right? It's because no one really going to look at it anyway. And see, many times Christians, they base their holiness off the fact that no one's ever going to find out what I am like on the inside, so I don't need to change the inside. I don't need to change the motives. I don't need to change the attitudes. I don't need to change the things that are the loins that are slowing us down in this race. He says, I can live whatever way I want as long as I'm shiny and pretty on the outside. I have everybody else full. But no, see, we need to be strong in holiness because someday we'll stand before God. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You can take your Bibles if you like to. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, you have a mention about what the judgment seat of Christ is going to be like. Some people will call this the Bema seat. Now, remember, who is this written to? This is written to believers, people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This is not written to the lost. Because of the fact, God is not going to judge them based off of their works. He's going to judge based off of what they did with Jesus Christ, which is a form of their works. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. The question is, is your name found in the book of life? Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Now, those that are unsaved, those are names that are not found in the book of life, they will experience what is called the great white throne judgment. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, this is what Peter is talking about here, and this is what Peter is saying when he says, without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work. You see here in chapter 3, let's start in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start a little bit earlier. Verse number 11, for other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, that is a very important verse. It's saying that our works will be tried. They will be tried by fire. They're not going to be tried on the amount of work that we've done, how many hours we've done, but the type of work that it is, of what sort it is, our attitudes, our motivation behind it. Look what it says in verse 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If the works go through the fire and they're still there and they are done for the right reasons and for the right motivation out of a love for Jesus Christ, they will be there and they will receive a reward for that. But as verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. It's saying that if they don't pass through the fire, if they don't meet the criteria of what true service to God is, that reward, they're going to suffer loss because they're not going to receive the reward. You mean that they're going to go to hell? No. What does the Bible say? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, he's going to be saved, his soul is going to be saved, but he's going to lose the reward that he could have had. Now, why would he lose the reward? It's because he had the wrong motivation. Because he wasn't holy, he wasn't becoming like Christ, he was serving to be seen of men, he was serving to get an accolade or to gain personally and benefit personally of it. It wasn't out of a love for God, it was based off a certain expectation of receiving something in this world for his work. That's what it's talking about when it says, try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, this is the reason why we need to be holy. It's because if we go and we go serve God and we act a certain way and we dress a certain way and we look a certain way and we act to have a persona of a certain thing and we carry a certain Bible and we do this and we do that, we do all these things for the wrong reasons, they're just going to get burned up. It's like you didn't even need to do it to begin with because you had the wrong motivations. But if you had the right heart attitude about it, and I want to dress for the Lord, and I want to serve for the Lord, and I want to act this way because it's what God would please God and would honor God, those are the things that we'll receive a reward for. But look what it keeps on going. Verse 16. And it's just a reminder. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Someday he's going to be standing and God's going to judge us. And don't we understand this? That this work is not going to pass through God's furnace. It's not going to look through God's eyes because He examines our hearts. He examines our motives. He examines why we do things. It's not based off of personal preference. Instead, it's based off of what our desire is. Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now, here's what once again, this is something that we're trying to get back to holiness in 1 Peter chapter number 1. He's saying, look, don't deceive yourself. And this is the amazing thing. There are so many people out there deceiving themselves, saying, okay, as long as I'm okay on the outside, as long as I say the right thing and look the right way, then I am holy. You're deceiving yourself. It's an inward change. It's an inward decision. Because God, someday we need to be holy, because God, who is not a respecter of persons, is going to judge man. And what is he going to judge him on? He's going to judge him according to every man's work. So we need to be holy because of the fact that He's going to judge us someday. You can go back to 1 Peter chapter number 1 there. We're finishing 1 Corinthians. He's going to look at why you're here tonight. He's going to say, why did they come to church? Did they come because they wanted to sing the praises of God? Did they come because they wanted to pray to God? Did they come because they wanted to hear from God? Did they want to hear His words? That's the motivation. And I think on a Wednesday night when it's raining outside, to be honest with you, probably most of you came for the right type of reason to church. But sometimes people get up and they get ready and they go to church for a lot of different reasons, a lot of different motives. God's going to look at that someday. And God's going to say, why did you even show up? You mean, Pastor, I'm not supposed to show up for church? Yes, you're supposed to show up for the church, but you're supposed to come for the right reasons. Not because there's a stipulation that to sing in the choir, you got to come to a certain number of services, or to teach a class, you got to. That's that fake holiness that's out there. You're doing it to be seen of men. And this is what is causing so many problems in so many churches today, is that young people and other people are coming in and seeing people act a certain way to be seen of men. But they know their hearts, they see their attitudes, they see the way they treat one another, and they're leaving because of the fact that there's no holiness inside. And we need to work on this. This is something that we need to work towards, and we need to understand that God is without a respect of persons. He judges every man according to every man's work. God will see you, and you'll stand before Him someday, and He'll see everything you did. I think about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, Barnabas had given and others had given a lot of money. Everybody was praising them. And Ananias and Sapphira says, man, we could do that. They went and sold it, but they kept back a portion. And it says that they lied to the people, but they lied to the Spirit of God and how they were put to death. Just like that. Now, in most people's eyes, what will we have said? Hey, look, they sold land. They brought money. Praise the Lord. Look what they did. And there was nothing wrong with them keeping a portion back. The Bible says that it was theirs in the begin with. The problem was they were outwardly showing something that they were not. They were outwardly saying, look at what I'm doing. This is what I'm bringing. I'm bringing it all. I'm giving it all. But inside, they weren't. They were lying. They lied to themselves that this was okay, but they lied to the people and they lied to the Holy Spirit. You know what? They were punished. Remember, God's not a respecter of persons. You say, why in the world does, you know, people lie and play church and they don't get slapped down like that? I don't have all the answers. I do think that the holiness that was found in the first century church, and people that were risking their lives to show up for church, they're usually coming for the right reasons, aren't they? They're not going to risk their lives just to be seen of men and say, hey, get pat on the back, thanks for coming. They're not going to do that. I think the holiness of that church was so, and that these people were entering into a holy place, and that the sin was not, God had to deal with it. Okay, third thing. Not only is it because God's not a respecter of persons, it's just because you might please somebody else on the outward, then pat you on the back. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't play favorites. He blesses those, He loves those, but He punishes all on the same page. Because, second reason, we need to make sure that we are strong in holiness is because God will judge us. He doesn't want the outward show. He cares about your heart. And the third thing is because God has only given us a limited time on this earth. I know that's a long for a point, but it's got a reason for it, because God has only given us a limited time on this earth. And I love this last phrase. I think this last phrase would be something that's good to memorize. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, this is a way to talk about living your life. You're passing your time. You know, people talk about passing the day along, passing the time of the day. Sometimes you get to imagine the guy sitting up over there on his rocking chair just drinking lemonade, passing the day along. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with rocking chairs or lemonade and things like that, but, you know, while we're here, we pass our time, and how do we pass our time? With the fear of God on our lives. Why do we need to be holy? We only have such a small time here in this world. Now, Peter makes note of that we are sojourners here. What does that mean? We are just passing through this world. And if we had this mindset that we only have a little bit of time, we need to do what we can for the Lord, because this is going to affect our capacity to enjoy heaven, our responsibility in the kingdom. We will stand before God judged someday because we have a limited time. Hey, you have 50 years here as a Christian. What are you going to do with it? Am I going to spend 30 years of my life living in the fear of God in 20 years, whatever way I want? You think about that illustration. Hey, look, you got somebody who's a newborn over here, and you go all the way over here, and somebody who's 80 years old. I'm 42, so I'm right here, about right in the middle. What I've done for God, you know, it's done. But how am I going to sojourn the rest of my life? Am I going to do it in a fear of God? Because that's what he's saying here. But for some of you, you're here because you're more like 50. Some of you, you're 60. Some of you, you're 70. You know, it's getting closer and closer and closer. Your time here is limited. And the Bible doesn't, it's not just me trying to make you feel guilty or get you started. The Bible says, wake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The Bible says in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time that is now, it is high time to awake out of your sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We are closer to the day that we're going to go to heaven than when we first believed. We're closer today to Jesus Christ coming than we first believed. Now, how are we going to spend our time? Are we going to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear? Are we going to live our lives realizing that, hey, I've only been given 60, 70, 80 years, 90, even 100 years. That's not really that long. How am I spending my time? Am I sojourning in fear? What does that mean, fear? It's talking about the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, it's just saying, our time is short. We need not to waste time. We need to live with the fear of God. I know that some of the messages I heard, if other people heard churches, sermons like we've preached the last three Sunday nights, they're saying, you're making a big deal out of nothing. Holy living, who really cares? You know, we all get to go to heaven anyway. What's the big deal? And the truth is, we need to pass the time with a fear of God. What does that mean? We have a respect for God. We won't watch something because it would offend God. We won't listen to something because it offends God. We won't wear something because it offends God. We won't do certain things. We're going to forgive somebody for Christ's sake, because he's forgiven us. We're going to treat someone with kindness that we don't really like. Is it because of what we want to do? No, we're doing it for God's sake. Because we fear God. We respect God. This is what God desires. This is what God wants us to do. You think about laws. You know, I don't go around not killing people just because of the fact there's a law out there that says you shouldn't kill somebody. You might have to go to jail. I don't know about you, that might stop some of you, but murder isn't a reason why. Stealing, it's wrong. That's the reason why I'm not going to do it. It's because I respect other people's things. And there's other laws that are put there. There's not very many laws in this world that they have to have for my sake. Now, the speed limit might be something you have to have. Some people might look at the speed limit and say, hey, that's a law. But things like stealing and things like killing and murdering or raping or, you know, all those different laws people go to jail for, going and punching somebody's in the face or, you know, whatever those things are. Those laws are there so that way we can make sure that society is run a certain way, and so that way we can keep those who do not want to follow a certain guideline, that we keep us, the community, safe. So what are you getting at, Pastor? Here's the deal, is that why do we do what we do? It's because we love God. We fear Him. We don't want to do anything that will step out of God's will, because He's not a respecter of persons. He blesses those that He chooses to bless because of the way they live. He punishes those who He chooses to punish because of the way they live. He loves all of us the same. And because He's not a respecter of persons, I love Him too much. I fear Him. I don't do these things because I don't want to hurt Him and the way He looks at me. And the value I give towards Him. If He doesn't think I should do something, then I'm not going to do it. If He thinks I should do something, then I want to do it. That means I have a great respect and admiration for Him, and I have a fear of Him. Listen to what the Bible says. You say, Pastor, use that word fear. You want to sound fearful. No, the Bible does. And there's a ton of verses about the fear of the Lord. Here's more than one, but listen to them and we'll be done. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. He said, look, let the fear of God be upon you. Take heed and do it. This is in 2 Chronicles 19:7. For there is no iniquity with the Lord. He said, there is no sin with God. He's not a respecter of persons, nor taking of gifts. You know, some people you might be able to bribe, or some people you might make things right by giving them something. God doesn't work that way. He's not a respecter of persons. 2 Chronicles 19:9, and He charged him, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Job 28:28, and unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. If we truly want wisdom, we will sojourn in this world caring about what God thinks instead of caring about what the rest of the world thinks. Caring about what the Bible says instead of what society says. Because we need to be holy. Why? Because He is holy. And we love Him. And we fear Him. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness for altogether. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know, what the Bible is saying here is, look, everyone else that does not fear God, they're not going to live by a certain way. They're not going to care about a certain way. You cannot go to someone who is unsaved and expect them to have a fear of God. They despise the wisdom of God. They despise the instruction of God. They do not understand it because they are a carnal person. They are spiritually dead. Spiritual things do not enter in their mind. They're not going to understand why you want to live a holy life. Don't look for their agreement. Don't look for them to pat you on the back for it. Because for they that hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and a forward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, before honor is humility. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. You know, if we really truly want to be satisfied in this world, we will learn to fear God and then leave the rest up to Him. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You know, as we go and we close up talking about holiness for a little while at least, because in chapter number 2, it comes back into the play, it comes back into the picture. And on Sunday morning, we're actually going to be preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what the next few verses are. And sometimes on Wednesday night, we push that to our Sunday morning series and when we think it's appropriate, and that's what the next verses are. So if you want to hear the next segment in the series, it's going to be on Sunday morning. But we close the chapter on holiness here. Did we learn anything? This is the idea here. Did we learn anything? What is the reason for it? It's because we fear God. We want to pass the time of your sojourning. My journey here, the years I'm here on this earth, I'm just a pilgrim, I'm a stranger, this is not my final resting place, I'm going to pass the time of my sojourning here in fear. And you go down to the obedient children, fashioning yourselves not against the former lust, talking about girding up the loins of your mind, about being sober, hoping to the end, talking about an all manner of conversation. It begins with this understanding. I fear God. Because I fear God, I want to be holy. Many times we fear man so much, we don't fear what God thinks. So, I don't know if this has helped you. It's helped me some. I pray it's helped you with the understanding that too many people out there are playing games. And we don't need games. Why? Because God's a respecter of persons. God's not a respecter of persons. God's going to judge and see right through those games. And we want God to use us and we want God to bless us. Let's not deceive ourselves into believing that God is pleased with anything less than holiness. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.